Hello friends, today on the sports bench, it is an appropriate time to do an AFC Asian Cup preview because the tournament kicks off on Friday, January 7th in Qatar. It is also appropriate to have a guest like Arunav Chaudhary because in a couple of hours from now, in fact, he will be checking in into his flight for Qatar from Germany. So Arunav, are you all packed up and ready?
Well, after I finish this podcast, I'll have to put in a few last things into the suitcase and then it's off to Qatar.
There is a touch of excitement in your voice, actually. Is that the excitement of the cup or are you shivering from the cold?
It is the cup. I mean...
There is one more thing. Or is it the excitement from the rumors about Blackburn chasing Ronaldinho?
Oh, God, let's not even start with that. I think the excitement is about going to the Asian Cup. I've never been to Qatar and I like to travel the world. And what makes me even more excited, I've now been indirectly involved with Indian football for 13 years. Never seen the Indian national team play at this level.
Yeah.
And results don't matter. The most important thing is that we are there. We are playing with the best in Asia. We need to learn fast, learn quickly. But, you know, to see Paichin Bhutia and his boys take on Jisung Park, Mark Schwarzer, you know, Tim Cahill, Harry Kewell, you name all. You know, these are the guys we normally see week in, week out in European football. So this is a big thing for us. And I hope they give everything. And I guess people should not just look at the result, but should look at the performance and, you know, the effort the boys put in. Because normally this is a standard which is way above us. North Korea showed against Brazil in the World Cup last year.
2-1, yes.
It could be a close one. So I hope against Australia, even though I've made a few jokes with some Australian friends. Last time at the World Cup, when Australia played their first match, they lost against my Germany 4-0. So who knows what will happen against my India this time around.
You're doing it for Deutsche Welle. You're there for Deutsche Welle. So you should be concentrating on the other teams as well, right? Not just India.
Yes. My main focus is actually Qatar itself, preparation. How is this tournament organized? Looking forward to 2022. Is there still a buzz, still an excitement in that country? And well, it is actually to a certain extent even an Indian World Cup as such, because you have more Indians in Qatar than Qataris. So, you know, I think it would be a very interesting one. And that's why I'm also looking forward, especially to those India matches, because I hope, and I really, really hope, I don't know how many people are coming from India or from other parts of the world, but I would hope that, you know, those Indians living in Qatar at least will fill the stadium and will give us at least vocally a home advantage in those three matches.
It will be interesting with you having to talk with players from, say, South Korea, China. How are you going to manage that from the language point of view?
Well, normally I've got an advantage that in a lot of teams, there are players these days who play in Europe, ideally Bundesliga or, you know, in an English-speaking nation. So those players are quite good to communicate with. My example, which I just gave to you before we started this podcast, is Chong Tae-se, the striker from North Korea, who's called the Wayne Rooney of Asia. And he learned German in less than 3 months after joining VfL Bochum.
Impressive.
So, you know, those are the kind of qualities. Yes, of course, I will try to speak to Jisung Park. I will try to speak to the other stars of Asian football. And I know that most of the teams have translators with them because they also know that this is a publicity thing and this is a PR thing. And this is now something which Asia understands. So the Asian Cup is a big tournament for Asian football. It's the most important tournament for Asian football. And hopefully in a few years, it will also be able to challenge maybe the African Cup of Nations, the Copa America, or maybe the European Championships.
Let's hope it does. Listeners, the AFC Asian Cup, we should know that it has 16 teams vying for the crown to be the best on the continent. And if there is an unusual name in that list this time, it is India. India was finalist in 1964. In 1984, it made no impact. And now it is 27 years hence that the team has qualified again. Arun, the importance of this tournament for Indian football was underlined when Paichin Bhutia said that it is, you know, it is the most important event of his career. The establishment, the setup has certainly put in a lot of efforts over the last year or so to help the team give it their best shot. The path has turned out to be rather jerky one, hasn't it, Arnav?
Well, that's the reality of Indian football. I think people are daydreaming and thinking that, you know, we win the AFC Challenge Cup in 2008 and then suddenly 2.5 years later we go into the Asian Cup and, you know, trying to compete with the best in Asia, where we a few years ago got thrashed 6-7 goals when we played a Japan or a Saudi Arabia. it's unrealistic. But, you know, our path has to start somewhere in regard to moving up into that bracket of being in the top 15 and then top 10 and maybe top 5 in Asia. And this tournament as such is very, very important. It's also very, very important for a generation of players, for a player like Baijing Bhutia, who has been the flag bearer of Indian football. And I would say, you know, even if people like PK Banerjee and Tunu Goswami will be angry at me, but I would say that Baijing Bhutia most probably has been the biggest footballer that India's produced as such. Maybe not technically. I envision most probably was better than other players in the past. But this generation deserves all the credit that they have done for Indian football over the last 10, 15 years. I mean, I first travelled with the Indian team in 2000 when we played in England against Fulham, West Bromwich Albion against Bangladesh. Some of these boys are still there, and I know where these boys have come from over the last decade. So that is very, very important for us. And on the other side, you've also seen that the younger generation is able to see that we are suddenly playing against Jisoo Park, who they normally see, who scored for Man U against Arsenal the other night. That we play against a Mark Schwarzer, who last weekend was in the Fulham goal. That is very, very important to us. And that is something which, you know, gives us a chance also to show ourselves. And who knows, you know, if an Indian player does very, very well at the tournament, some scouts might even pick him up and take him to a club in Europe. Anything is possible. But we have to be realistic. India is by far the weakest team in this tournament. The second weakest per ranking happens to be Qatar at the moment. That's an interesting, I think. This is hopefully a start to a journey.
Yeah, it is important for the next generation of players as well to pick up, to take leads from what this team is doing now. Arnav, the number of injuries, there were a dozen players injured at one point. Now, Sameer Naik and Anthony Pereira, I guess those are the important guys who are missing the tournament. So how much is that going to impact our team?
Well, the problem with Sameer has been that Sameer has been out for most of the time. I mean, he has not played over the last 6 months. So the left back position has been a problem. So, you know, Sameer coming back and Sameer being in decent form would have been strengthening us. But I hope that whoever plays in that position, be it Nabi, be it Mahesh Gauli, be it Manju, whoever does it really, is up to the task. I think Anthony Pereira has been the find over the last 2-3 years of Bob Houghton, and that does hit us very, very hard. I think his pace, class of his crosses, the amount of effort Anthony Pereira puts in, that will be missed. And there will be more pressure on the other side, on Stephen Dyer, certainly on the right, and whoever plays on the left, be it Clifford, be it Renedy, that person will have to really step up to the plate. So that's the problem. And yeah, injuries are part and parcel of the game. Australia and South Korea having striker problems. So hopefully that's a good sign for us. And we'll have to see how this team performs and how it just takes these problems into stride as well.
Arunav, in India's group, which is Group C, we have Australia, South Korea, two teams which played in the South Africa World Cup, and Bahrain, which narrowly missed making it to South Africa. What is the kind of play that we can expect from these teams, Arunav?
Well, the Australians, of course, are very, very similar to the English in their approach and the way they play. So you will see a lot of running, a lot of long balls as well. So that will be what the Australians very, very often play. But they've got good technical players in the middle. So, but, of course, also injury problems. Their best striker, Joshua Kennedy, is not going to be at the tournament. That's good for us, of course. And Kewell has not been really fit over the last couple of years. He's sort of a Baijing Bhutia problem for them. So that's certainly good for, I said. But of course, they've got one of the best, even though one of the oldest, but most probably one of the best goalkeepers in this tournament in Mark Schwarzer. So they are a very, very good side. Tim Cahill is someone, you know, we see week in and week out in the EPL. So difficult one. But South Korea, yeah, I would think South Korea is even stronger than Australia. Jisung Park has been very, very strong this season.
Another team with a high work ethic, South Korea.
Exactly, and their work rate, and you know they're running all over the field. It's going to be interesting what Bob's strategy will be, if India is going to stand a little deeper and try to allow the Koreans to run at them and try to play counter attack. The South Koreans have got a number of players across Europe these days, and if given a chance, he's been a sensation here in the Bundesliga, but hasn't played that much. He'd broken his foot in preseason. Is a 18-year-old teenager called Son. So he might be a player to look out, because Park is the striker from AS Monaco is injured. So he might be very, very interesting to watch. And of course, all the South Koreans are physically...
Yes, the physical aspect. But I guess the physical aspect will come into play more against Australia, because South Koreans, we expect at least physically to be smaller.
Those days are gone. I mean, that was an interesting statistics that South Korea and Japan were amongst the tallest teams at 2010 World Cup, where they were close on average, I think, most of them around 6 foot. You know, those days are gone as well. They have always been athletes. They can run 8 to 10 kilometers if needed, or even more. So that is going to be something where India needs to be very, very careful, needs to be prepared. And therefore, I think the opening match against Australia will be very, very important. You know, I'm honestly not expecting a win or anything of that sort. But if India in any way can get a positive result out of that match, and that is keeping maybe the scoreline low, maybe even a draw, who knows? In football, anything is possible. You know, I'm always an optimist, but I'm also realistic, and I've learned over the years, wonders don't happen too often, even though I think the last big one-off wonder was when India beat the UAE in Bangalore in April 2001 in the World Cup qualifier, when the UAE were actually 60 places above India in the FIFA rankings. So it is possible.
You just talked about European scouts will be there watching. So any Indian player who will be trying or hoping to impress, or who has the quality to impress?
Well, we've had Subrata Pal on trial in Vancouver and Mangi in
Melbourne. He's been in good form, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think Mangi and Subrata have been, but they've had their off matches as well. So it is very, very important that they have their best matches now in the Asian Cup. I think they are players who might be viewed. Stephen Dias, I guess, is the other one. And who knows?
Sunil Chhetri, of course, had an exciting 2010, being signed by Kansas City Wizards. The name has changed now, hasn't it? It is Sporting Kansas.
Yeah, Sporting Kansas, crazy name as such. But Sunil's club, of course, have not retained him as such. They still have a contract with him, so he might be traded somewhere else.
So are there any clear favorites for the title? Australia and South Korea. South Korea, two teams really strong, both in the same group. We have Japan, Group B. There is North Korea, who just played the World Cup, but it's not considered to be one of the stronger teams, because there is also Iran and Iraq. Iraq, the defending champs, but Iran is considered to be, although it has not won the cup in the last over three decades, but it is considered to be a strong team. So who are you fancying?
I think the three main World Cup sides in Japan, Australia and South Korea would be my title favorites. But this World Cup thing, of course, is always difficult, because if you remember 2007, Australians weren't able to make any impact in Southeast Asia. Even Japan and South Korea fizzled out at the semifinal stage. So, you know, you had a surprise winner in Iraq. This is a Middle Eastern Asian Cup. So I think it could be possible that a team from Middle East could go all the way. Who knows, if Qatar has its run, that maybe even the hosts as...
And any special guests you are hoping to get to talk during the tournament out there?
Well, I've got certain standards, of course, you know, with the Indian team or with Bob Houghton, I think I can speak easily. But, you know, there are, I would like to speak to Jisung Park, maybe. And I think I would find it very interesting to speak to someone like Tong Tae-sae, the North Korean striker who now plays here in Germany for Bochum, even though I know most probably it's easier to do the interview here than with... you know, the North Korean badge on his shirt. But, you know, there are a lot of stars, and you never know. You know, some others are there as well. Bayern Munich at the moment is in Qatar as well, in a winter training camp. So I'll be watching them as well. Maybe I'll do an interview with Arjen Robben of the sorts.
That's it, guys. Arunav has catched the plane in the snow in Germany. In a way, you must be relieved, Arunav, that you have to go to the Gulf. You're going to the Gulf and you're leaving the snow behind for a few days.
Yeah, it's a good thing I'm going to the Gulf in the winter. So, you know, in the summer, I might think the other way might have been better. And I think the real joke now is that from tomorrow, we're going to get real warm weather for our conditions, where over the weekend, it will get up to 12, 13 degrees plus. So most probably by Sunday, we might not even have any snow left, even though we've got 2 meters behind the house. So
hope you're a lucky charm for the Indian team, though, in Qatar.
I hope so. I hope so. I really hope so. And, you know, and I would call on everyone who's listening to this podcast, you know, whatever the result, support Team India, support our boys. They need any support they can get, and don't expect unrealistic things. Let's hope they do well, they play well.
Definitely. And you can keep in touch with Arunav at Arunfoot, which is his Blogspot name, also on his Facebook. And of course, you can stay in touch with the Sports Bench as well. During the tournament, we are hoping to catch hold of Arunav time and again, hoping that he will get us interesting tidbits from inside the insider info. That's all for tonight. Let's hope India has a good tournament. Thank you, Arunav, for your time.
You're welcome. Bye.